These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
...1970s Germany, a campaign of terror rages with assaults, kidnappings and assassinations spreading fear across the country.
The Red Army faction was founded in the spring of 1970 by Andreas Bader, Ulrike Meinhof and Gudrun Enslin. Their common goal, to change the political system, even through violence.
Born from a radical student movement, the Bader-Meinhof gang, also known as the Red Army faction, would write their names into history with the blood of others, leaving chaos in their wake.
The RAF committed 34 murders, numerous bank robberies and bombings. More than 200 people were injured during attacks blamed on the group. Many of the terrorist group's crimes have still not been solved. Federal police are still searching for suspected RAF members accused of attempted murder and robbery.
And now, dramatic scenes in Berlin have led to a major arrest, that of an unassuming neighbourly 65-year-old woman, and the renewed manhunt for the remaining members of the long-dormant terrorist outfit.
Over 30 years on the run, with no photos or news about Daniela Kletter. That is, until earlier this week on Monday, when German police arrested the alleged former Red Army faction member who'd been living in Berlin under a false name. 65-year-old Daniela Kletter was the only woman labelled as dangerous on Europol's most wanted list.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Berlin-based freelance journalist James Jackson to profile the notorious Red Army faction and to examine the new developments in this decades-long story. James, we now know them as the Bader-Meinhof gang, but where, when and how did this movement or criminal gang or terrorism unit first emerge?
So they call themselves the Rote Armee Fraktion, which is the Red Army faction, and they come from West Germany from the 1970s. Now, in the 60s, of course, the two countries were divided into West and East, and there was a very radical student movement in the 60s who were unhappy about the presence of former Nazis in senior positions in the West German government. There was also a lot of collaboration between West Germany and, for example, the Shah's Iran. And one of the main events that kicked off and inspired the Bader-Meinhof gang was the killing of a student protester by the Shah's bodyguards. So there was a strong kind of left-wing movement in West Germany. They could look over the wall, particularly in Berlin, and think, well, maybe another world is possible. Maybe we need to get rid of the old Nazis here. But of course, the Red Army faction started out as part of this quite popular movement, but then clearly radicalized and were a lot more violent than most of their contemporaries.
The RAF group, which was a left-wing terrorist group active from the 1970s to the 1990s. And this is a group that wrought terror in Western Germany and Germany during that period. They are accused of 34 murders. They killed industrialists, they killed judges, they killed police officers, and they carried out bombings and robberies.
How did they evolve and how did they set about achieving their aims?
They started out as a pretty standard left-wing grouping, but they had some, from the get-go, some pretty interesting interactions with the police. I mean, Andreas Baader, one of the founders, was in jail already for detonating homemade bombs in two Frankfurt department stores. And he actually escaped with the help of Ulrike Meinhof, who was a journalist and who visited him in prison. And so there was always an element of the sort of Bonnie and Clyde on the run from the law about the group, rather than just campaigning in a typical political fashion. And they continued to bomb, they continued to kidnap, and they continued in some cases to murder as well. So their goal really was to cause a revolution, get people out onto the streets by provoking repression. But I don't think they were very successful in that. And they never really had a political wing or much support from established politics.
And the fundraising that they were undertaking, the kidnappings, the robberies and so on, was that to fund the movement or was that to undermine the establishment?
I think you have to differentiate between different generations. We're talking about this because someone from the so-called third generation of the RAF was recently arrested in Berlin. And the third generation are accused of attempted murder and bank robbing. And that wasn't really ideological. That was to sort of be able to live underground. And the police have said that they're not even convinced that the third generation had much ideological motivation. But, of course, it makes sense to take the police's claims with a pinch of salt as well. Initially, a lot of it was about saving their comrades, breaking Baader out of prison, and the most famous kidnapping of Schleyer, who was a former SS officer, Hans-Martin Schleyer, who was head of the German Association of Employers in the 70s. They kidnapped him so that they could use a negotiating tactic of getting their comrades out of prison, like Baader, who had already been arrested.
And how did that ultimately play out for them, that kidnapping?
Well, the Social Democratic Chancellor at the time, Helmut Schmidt, refused to negotiate with terrorists, something that made him very popular, and he continues to be popular to this day within Germany. And in the end, they killed Schleyer. There's a famous image of this kind of old man in a suit holding up a sign saying, "Help, I'm captive of the RAF, the Red Army faction." But they decided it's not time to negotiate with terrorism. This was seen as a huge security threat to post-war Germany and a challenge to it. But I don't think it was really ever much of a political challenge because the group were very isolated from the wider left because of their extreme tactics.
What about the downfall of the Baader-Meinhof gang? What caused that?
Well, it depends which generation you're talking about, because the first generation, including Andreas Baader and Ulrike Meinhof, were captured and they were held in this rather notorious prison, which was specially built for them. And there was a lot of allegations of abuse, allegations that the trial against them was not particularly fair because of illegal wiretapping and putting a lot of pressure on them, which, as it was such a big political issue at the time. And then Meinhof first killed herself in her cell. But there were many supporters who were questioning, was it really suicide? And then similar things happened with other prisoners, including Baader, Enslin, and Rasper. So they committed suicide, but then there are questions about how they got the weapons that they were used. The first generation kind of went out in a blaze of glory rather than being prosecuted by what they saw as an illegitimate post-Nazi state. The second generation had been trying to help them, and the third generation just sort of quietly retired. And that's the generation that we're talking about now, who are currently on the loose to a certain extent and being hunted by the German police. So this might be the actual end of the Baader-Meinhof gang, the Red Army faction.
In April 1998, the RAF announced its dissolution. Many of the terrorist group's crimes have still not been solved. Federal police are still searching for suspected RAF members accused of attempted murder and robbery.
So they're technically disbanded since the late 90s, is that fair to say?
Exactly. They sent out a note saying that they were going to break up. It said, quite famously says, I was, I am, and I will be. So they left the door open for a return, possibly. But, I mean, speaking frankly, if you look at the ages of the people involved and the people who are on the run now, I think it's quite unlikely that they would pull off anything major. Although saying that, the police have warned to be very careful and not to approach them if you see them.
Okay, so take us then to current events. Talk us through that arrest of Daniela Cleta.
I think this is quite an interesting one, and it's also why the Berlin police are somewhat embarrassed, because actually her location was found by a local podcast from a local broadcaster, and they didn't give the location to the police, but then they put out a sort of equivalent of Crime Watch for the three on Aktenzeichen XYZ, so a German TV show. And then there were reports of people. There was actually a train stopped in Lower Saxony where they said it looked like him. A passerby had called in a tip and the whole train was stopped and the SWAT team went on. And then it turns out that Daniela Cleta had been living in Kreuzberg in West Berlin, which is sort of a well-known left-wing area. And there were over 100 police deployed to arrest this old woman who, by all accounts, was quite neighbourly, quite friendly. And her comrades were also living in Friedrichshain, which is where I join you from today. And I've been hearing sirens going off. And every time I see a police van, I think, oh, are they still hunting them? There's been a lot of raids on left-wing punk caravan sites where people have been living, and they've been arresting people and putting quite a lot of pressure on this left-wing sort of autonomous squatting house occupation scene, they call it, in Berlin. So in Cleta's case, people were quite surprised that she was a notorious left-wing terrorist, because she's supposedly quite mild-mannered. And some of the neighbours were really actually quite impressed, it has to be said. One of them started chanting at the police red front when the police were arriving.
So the thesis is that her two accomplices might also be hiding out in the Berlin area.
It appears that they were both living just over the river in East Berlin. And the police claim to have found traces of evidence that they were in Friedrichshain and in these caravan sites. But they are still in hiding, and it's not quite clear how long they will remain or how close the police are to catching them. They've been putting a lot of pressure onto the left-wing sort of anarchist scene here in terms of making arrests and raiding houses. So I think what I would speculate is that they're trying to get someone to hand them in. There's a big reward out for them. And of course, people don't want to get their houses raided.
In the last few weeks and months, investigators had put out a €150,000 prize in money for whoever would come forward with information that would lead to an arrest, and that might have led also to the tip-off.
I was quite surprised that they would still be here. Friedrichshain-Kreuzberg is exactly where you would expect them to hide out. I think some people expected them to be in the south of Spain or in Italy, and there were reports that Cleta had an Italian passport and a false name.
There was raids then, a big raid last weekend, 130 police officers, shots fired to open a door, and the police thought they had tracked down these two individuals.
Exactly, but they didn't find them then. The police, I think, had made a couple of arrests of people who they thought could be these two RAF terrorists, but it didn't turn out to be them, and they're still on the run. So the police seem to think either that they are still in the area that they were hiding out in for decades, or that people in the area know where they are, and if they put enough pressure on, they'll get them to give up their location.
What do we know about Ernst Volker Staub and Burkhard Garweg? Why are the police looking to track them down?
Well, they are associated with Daniela Cleta as being members of the third generation of the RAF, and they are suspected particularly of attempted murder in relation to a number of armed bank robberies. But I think interestingly, the third generation of the RAF is really suspected of the assassination of Detlev Rohrwedder, who was a very controversial figure in East Germany. He was appointed as one of the people to sort of privatize a lot of state-owned property from the former German Democratic Republic, East Germany, when reunification came. And so a lot of people lost their jobs. It was seen as the final victory of capitalism and against East Germany. So, you know, there are speculations that he was killed by the Stasi, but also I think most people think it's likely he was killed by the Red Army faction. We don't know the extent to which Kletta and her comrades Staub could have been involved, but they are suspected.
And at this stage, we are talking about people who are in their 60s and 70s, so they're no longer regarded as a threat massively in terms of current activities. So this is all historic events that we're talking about.
Yes, but not necessarily as far back as the 90s. They were suspected of committing bank robberies to fund their lifestyle in hiding. Although they are on the older side, we have to remember that Kletta was found with quite a lot of ammunition and a grenade. So people are advised to stay away from them if you see them.
This latest manhunt has also sparked interesting debates around civil liberties in Germany, particularly around the use of facial recognition technology.
Absolutely. It wasn't really the police that found Daniele Kletta. It was this podcast. And then when the podcast refused to give her location or a new identity to the police approached Bellingcat, which is a sort of open source intelligence journalism company. And they used simple off-the-shelf facial recognition to find Kletta, gave that to the German police. And people are asking, is that fair? Do we all have to have our faces on record? Is it like that anyway because of the digital world in which we live in? And, you know, Germany has very strict privacy laws. And in fact, Germans don't like being photographed in public. You actually have to ask for permission if someone's going to be in the picture. So Germans are very private about these things. And so, yes, it's very controversial that the police will have access to everyone's face and using modern technology to scan through everyone. I think some people are worried about the civil liberties implications of that, especially in a country which does have some quite strong restrictions on free speech, as Germany does, and where many people have been arrested recently for shouting pro-Palestinian slogans, as well as other issues.
What about the perception now of these people who are from effectively a now disbanded terrorist group from several decades ago? Is there a public fascination with it, or is there a public appetite to see justice being done?
I think it's a bit of both, really, especially after the film came out, the Baader-Meinhof gang. There was a new wave in interest, and some people say it glamorized them to a certain extent. I think people also maybe look back nostalgically from a time when there was a real left wing and maybe even an alternative to German capitalism, looking back to the DDR, the communist East Germany, which some people have coined the term Ostalgie, which is Eastern nostalgia. So yeah, people are often looking to the past, both to make sense of the present and also as something to move away from, but also as something that you can possibly learn from. I do think that there's a divide in society in how the RAF are viewed, and many people do absolutely want justice to be done, but some also have been accused of glamorizing these people.
Finally, is Germany the kind of place where it is possible to live off-grid as such? Live a life where nobody is tracking you, you've no interaction with the state authorities and so on?
I think that's a tough question because I didn't think it was. And then I found out that Daniele Kletta had been living about a mile away from me without even a rental contract and false identities. There is still in Berlin and in Hamburg, there's this sort of squatting scene going back to the autonomists grouping, they were called. So I think there are people who are living off-grid, but otherwise it's quite regimented. For example, when you move house, you have to go and make an appointment at the city hall and tell them about it in person. So for me, I was surprised that it was possible, but apparently it is. If you have a lot of cash, I think that's worth pointing out. It's a society where you can pay for pretty much anything in cash. That's one reason why they were robbing banks, to have enough cash to be able to live outside the system, let's say.
And my thanks to James Jackson for joining me from Berlin. I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Garrett Mulhall, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Rory Bowens. Archive clips from France 24, DW News, Die Welt, the Baader-Meinhof complex movie, and the BBC. If you enjoyed the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.
These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them, like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with the Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs. Crack on.